Welcome to the Bayside Church Weekly Message Audio Podcast, Cheltenham.
For those of you who don't know, my name is Andrew Forbes, or more commonly known as Forbo. I got Mr. Forbes this morning. That's my dad. I don't refer to that. But I'm the Generations Ministry Leader here at Bayside, and Forbo has followed me through my teenage years. It's something I haven't been able to shake, so that's okay, because apart from being the Generations Ministry Leader here, I'm also a father, a son, a husband, and a friend. But people tell me, and after we had a quick poll around the office, that I'm also the biggest kid in the office. And I like that. I take it as a compliment. I love working with children, and I have been doing so for 23 years. And I like being a big kid. And in fact, it's really important as we launch our new series that's simply irresistible, that today I get the opportunity to talk to you about having childlike faith. So important that we remember what it's like to be a child. And this morning I'm going to give you the excuse to be childlike, to be a big kid, and because I think you get so much joy out of life. Children are irresistible. You just want to, when they're young, you just want to get their cheeks and give them a pinch. I sometimes find myself just distracted watching them as they play, as they do things, their inquisitiveness, and the way they just see the world differently to us as adults. So this morning I want to preach to you out of Matthew 18. And if you've got your Bibles, you can open them up. Come on. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 5. And here, Jesus is saying that we have to become more childlike. As I said, this is your excuse to be more like a child. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked him, then who is the most important person in the kingdom of heaven? What happens when you get a group of guys together? They're always jostling for position to work out who's going to be the best. Or right here, they're trying to work out who's the most mature, who's the oldest, you know, most important. And Jesus does something really funny. He called a little child over to him. He had the child stand among them. And Jesus said, what I'm about to tell you is true. You need to change and become like little children. If you don't, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who takes the humble position of this child is the most important in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this one in my name welcomes me. There we have it. All you need to do is at the end of tonight's service or this morning's service, go to the iConnect desk, sign up for children's ministry, and you got it made. Done. It's the end of the sermon. We can all go home now. We have to become like little children. But Jesus says, what I'm about to tell you is true. Now, everything that Jesus said in the Bible was true. So why did he have to state right here, what I'm about to tell you is true? Because what he's about to tell these people and what he's about to tell us today, you're not going to like hearing about. You're going to find it really difficult to do because you won't want to do it. Everything in you will want to grow up. But Jesus is saying that you need to change and become like little children. I think this is fantastic news. I love this news because I've always been concerned about my age. I tell people that I'm 41 years old. It rolls off my tongue so easily, 41 years old. I look in the mirror and I see a 41-year-old person these days. My mind sometimes tells my body to do something and my body doesn't respond as quickly as it used to. So I realize that I am 41 years old. But I don't view myself as 41 years old. I still see myself as a big kid. I love being a big kid. It's part of who I am. And I know that it's the same for everyone in this room. You don't view yourself at the age you are right now. You see yourself through much younger eyes. And we need to remember that we are children of God, that we are still children. So I'm a proponent of the old adage, you're only as old as you feel. So you can choose how old you want to be today. If you want to be 21, girls, tell everyone you're 21 and own it. But before I continue, I want to make a little bit of a distinction about being childlike as opposed to childish, because they're two very different things. And Jesus is not asking us to be childish here. When you are childlike, think about all the things we enjoy about children. Their honesty, their truthfulness, their joy for life, their inquisitiveness that they have, their purity of heart, their innocence that they have. That's childlike. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Childish, on the other hand, they're the things we don't like seeing in our kids. That's when it's the other half's kids. That's my wife's children when they display these things. When they are irrational, when they have temper tantrums, when they give you some sass or attitude, that's comes down from a wife's side, I'm sure. We don't want to see these things. What I'm about to tell you is true. See, it's very hard to remain childlike because from the moment we are born, the world is telling us that we need to grow up. That growing up and becoming an adult should be your goal or is the goal in life. Your parents, your peers, advertising, your teachers at school, everyone is telling us that we need to grow up. Our kids realize this from a very young age. If you haven't noticed, you try telling a three-year-old that they are a good little boy or little girl, and they'll look at you with indignation and they'll say, I'm a big boy, I'm a big girl. And then they proceed to tell you why they are big. They can cut up their meals, they don't wear nappies anymore, they don't have a dummy. All these things that we congratulate the kids for being more grown up if they don't or do these things. Perhaps it's riding their bike without training wheels. Do you remember that day? You were so grown up when you did that. When in my family, if you got an extended bedtime, they were so looking forward to their extended bedtime. I don't have to go to bed yet. Yay. When they got to walk to school alone. Well, I tell you what, for Alex particularly, that was big. When the girls get to have their ears pierced or wear makeup for the first time. I was 7 years old, by the way. And my sisters made me do it. These days, when you get a phone for the first time, how many kids looking forward to the phone? They've arrived, they're older. When they get their first job, when they go to the movies or get to go to the shopping centres by themselves or even to the city unsupervised, how many parents are ready to let your kids do that right now? Yeah, you freak out. Some of you are, yeah, no worries. Those that are grown up. See, but with all of these things, none of them have anything to do with their age. All of these things are determined about the responsibilities that you think that they can take on or they're showing that they can actually take on. Being childlike has nothing to do with our age. Being childlike is whether we choose to do it or choose to take on the responsibility or that attitude or that character trait. I've met many adults that are still childish. They're not childlike, they're very childish in the way they behave. In fact, I've worked with kids for a long time and I'm just letting you in a little secret here. I use the same tactics on the kids as I do on the adults. It works because I'm still talking to childish type people sometimes. I regularly have conversations with 18-year-olds and they've just had their 18th birthday and they're super excited about that because now I don't have to do what mum and dad have told me. I'm 18. I'm an adult. I've arrived. I can do whatever I want. And they usually go on to tell me things that probably aren't so good for them to go and do. And I sort of think in my mind, and sometimes I'm honest enough to say it out, really? So what happened when you woke up on your 18th birthday? Did you miraculously clean your room without asking? Were you doing more chores around the house? Are you paying mum and dad rent? Oh, they don't like that one. Have you gone and got a job and moving out and paying your way through university? Doing everything that people would say shows you're becoming an adult. Or have you just had a birthday and nothing has changed? Has nothing to do with our age. But we spend our whole life trying to grow up. And Jesus here in this passage is telling us that we need to be more childlike. What he's talking about here is a state of mind, an attitude and character. See, it's always about character with God. He's challenging us every day on our character. And here, it's not about physically becoming young again, but it's helping us to remember that we are still a child of God. We are still children of God and He is our Father. And it's okay, in fact, it's important that we continue to have childlike faith, that we employ the purity of heart that kids do, that we have the innocence when we're coming to the Father. We're not going to know everything yet. And to help us get into this frame of mind, to become more childlike, I'm going to invite the kids to come out. And they're going to help us to sing a song. They might be behind the door. I'm not sure if they're behind that door or not. Here they are. Oh, here's Jordan. There's another big kid. And Fiegel, he's a leader of the kids. Are the other kids there with you? Oh, can someone quickly poke your head out and see if they're coming? They will be coming. See what they say? They say you should never work with kids. This is... I don't agree with that. So Fiegel's gone to get them. They're coming out. Excellent. Well, we're going to sing a song, so I'll prepare you just while the kids are about to come out behind us. Now, this is a song we sing at camp. We're going to sing it later on in the year, so you guys are going to get some practice on this. If you've been in church for any period of time or grown up through church, you probably will know this song. It's called Father Abraham. Okay. We know some people who know this song. Excellent. Now, this song's called Father Abraham, and it goes like this. Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons, had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. And then it repeats, but there's actions that get added in. So then it goes right hand, Father Abraham has many sons. And we're going to keep adding in actions, and the song is going to get faster and faster. So if you're a bit unsteady on your feet, please stay seated. But if you're not, I want you all to get to your feet right now. And I want you to join in. And don't worry about who's to the left and to the right of you. Connect to the inner child and let's have some fun as we sing this song. Kids are still coming out. Come forward, kids. We're going to spread along a little bit. They're still coming. Oh, there's more. We got a lot of kids this morning. That's excellent. Now, they're going to lead you in this song. I'm going to be over here. You can copy me in the actions too. But I'm going to hand over to Amy. Where's Amy? Behind the... Oh, yes, I can see her amongst the kids. Very good. Let's go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, kids. You guys can get to your feet and you can go back out to the kids' ministry. I'm going to catch my breath for a minute. You can give them a wave. Give everyone a wave. Give them a round of applause. Thank you, Fiegel. Good job. Oh. Oh, there we go. Excellent. Kids are great, aren't they? They're amazing. So this morning, I want to share with you several childlike attributes, as I catch my breath, and some character traits that we need to never grow out of, that we need to consistently remind ourselves of and work towards the older we get. See, often as you get older or as you get further away from a period in your life, you forget or you have a different view of what it was. And we need to remember what it was like to be childlike. We need to practice doing it every day in our lives. We also need to let go of some of the childish habits perhaps we've held on to from our childhood. We do need to grow up in some areas. So the first thing I want to talk to you today about is the ability to be carefree or not to be so self-conscious. We just saw a display of that as these kids willingly came up in front of you and were happy to dance and sing. Now, they all looked very different as they did that. Some legs were going everywhere. Some of them had more coordination than others. Others are probably standing there just watching you going, oh. But they had a lot of fun. They were just so happy to be a part of what was going on up here. Carefree attitude, not worried about what others think of them. And that gives them a willingness to be able to come up here. We sort of lose that the older we get. We start worrying too much about what other people think of us. What we're going to look like, what we're wearing. I love the fact that some kids are happy to go to South End with their undies on the outside. They rock it. They just go. It's whatever superhero they're choosing to be that day, and they don't care. Their imagination, they look like Batman or Superman or whoever it is, and they get out there and they do it. Being childlike and carefree is the ability to live in the present with no concern for the future. It's born out of an innocence and a purity. Children don't worry about bank accounts, petrol prices, overseas crisis, politics at work, politics of the nation, or what people think of them. They just get on and enjoy life. They enjoy the moment that they're in. Whatever has been put in their hand, they're going to have a crack at it and give it their all. Childish attitude, or the opposite of that, is actually carelessness. Oh, sorry, I missed a part of the point here. They're able to be carefree because their parents' covering and protection, they understand their parents' covering and protection is going to provide and are going to guide them. They know their place in life and they know responsibilities that they have. As I said earlier, a kid will tell you what they can do, but they're also willing to tell you what they can't do. They understand the boundaries of what they should and shouldn't take on. They can say yes and no easily because they know where they are, but they're also willing to learn and to be carefree. If they're not sure of something, they'll then ask and willing to be led. That I would be carefree. As I said, the opposite of this is carelessness. I believe this happens when we try to grow up too quickly. One of the things that really gets my goat is that the world is trying to tell our kids to grow up way too fast. Let them enjoy being a child. Let them enjoy the things of their childhood, playing freely. Stop over-organizing their lives, over-scheduling them. We're burning them out. We're expecting them to grow up. We're expecting them to wear things. Don't get me going. I've got a big rant on it. But get going, yeah. But you know what? I think we try to grow up too fast too. We take on way too many things. We take on way too many things in our life. What has God put in our hands? Stop trying to take on so much, to have that independent spirit that you have to break away from your parents and find that independence. You can't do it all by yourself, but we have this attitude that I can do it all by myself. I'm the solution to every problem. I was always told you can't do two things at once, or if you do try, you're not going to do either of them very well. See, when you take on too many things, you start to cut corners. You start to take risks that you know you shouldn't take, driving and texting, with your kids in the car. I can't believe how many parents I see driving, or even with other people in the car. What type of risk are you taking there? Trying to multitask at a time when you shouldn't be. When we become careless, our actions and attitudes start to slip. We don't treat each other very well. We get more worried about the things that we've got to do, and we get less concerned about what the Father wants us to do. We stop listening to His voice in our life because we've got too much on. We squeeze Him out. It's always the first thing to go is our relationship with Dad. We can't let that slip. We can't be careless in that area of our lives. See, the children, they understand their boundaries. If they don't know something or something's going wrong or it's getting too much, what's the first thing they do? Mom! That's never Dad. They call out. They want help. But it allows them to be carefree, to keep living in the moment. And if Mum can't do it, she'd go ask your father. We need to practice being carefree. We need to let our inner child out often. So I want to ask you this morning, what is something you do for fun? Do you still have something you do for fun in your life? Well, I encourage you to make time for it. The things I enjoyed as a child, I still enjoy them today. But I have to make sure that I put time in my life to enjoy them. You're going to need to try and do the same. It helps you keep that childlike spirit and heart. Another tip that's helped me to become more carefree has been the last 40 days of prayer and fasting. I went off social media. Woo! It was brilliant. It was really good. Now, I'm sorry if I haven't replied to any of your messages on Facebook, but you could still get me by phone. I'm still on the other end of a phone. I've got an email address still that I was willing to answer, but I wasn't on the social media. But it meant that I stopped comparing myself to what was going on. I stopped having a look at other people's lives and go, oh, I wish I could be doing that. I wasn't jealous anymore. I wasn't envious. I didn't get frustrated at some of the silly posts that I see go up. I tell you what, there's sometimes I would start to worry or take on responsibilities that were not even mine to deal with, but because I saw them, I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I wanted to speak in, or I tried to speak in, and it just wasn't for me to carry. You've got to be able to let it go. See, kids are carefree because they can let go. They realize that their mum and dad will be there for them, or their father will be there to carry whatever they can't. If they're not sure of something, they've got somewhere to ask and they would do it. They didn't pick things up that they shouldn't have. So we need to learn to give it to God to stay carefree. If you know how to worry, you know how to pray. If there's something in your life you're not sure about it, just give it to God. Just give it to God. It'll help you to be carefree. The second attribute that I want to talk to this morning is trust. I love the fact that kids will trust you without hesitation. They just do it. I wish I was able to do that with some things. I'd help be able to do so many more things in my life if I could just trust more than I do. One of the times I remember doing this, I was sitting in the kitchen, or standing in the kitchen one day preparing a meal, and I had a lemon in front of me. I was cutting it into some wedges, and Caitlin was in her high chair, and I cut the lemon up, and I looked at the lemon. I looked across at Caitlin. I looked back at the lemon, and I went, I wonder. And so I popped it onto her tray and she just picked it up without hesitation, trusting her dad that whatever he's going to give her is going to be good. And she sticks it into her mouth and has this look on her face of, what have you just given me? Funny thing is, she kept going back and doing it. And so I was like, it was awesome. This is the day before phones and you filmed everything. I'd be a YouTube sensation if I'd filmed it. But she just trusted that what I was going to give her was going to be good. And I got some humor out of it. See, I told you I was a big kid. And I know I'm not the only one in the room who's given their kid lemon. Anyone else? Yeah, okay, see? Don't all judge me. The other thing I used to do that just showed the trust with my kids was, and I know that dads do this, was I would just throw them up in the air and I'd catch them again. And I used to have competitions with some of the other dads and we'd see who could throw the child the highest. The mums would look at us with absolute horror on their faces and go, "What? Don't you drop my child or you'll be in trouble if..." But the kids, my kids would be giggling with all of their heart. They loved it. There was no fear at all. They trusted that their dad was strong enough to be able to catch them, that he could do no wrong at that point, and they were enjoying the moment. They loved it. They trusted me so much. I couldn't do it today. Don't think I'd get him off the ground. See, children are able to be oblivious to some of the dangers. They're able to be fearless in their exploration because they take for granted the shelter and the protection that their parents or the father provides. The Apostle Paul was able to go places. He was able to do things that were perilous because he understood that his father was going to protect him wherever he went, that his father was going to make a way through, that was going to give him everything he needed to do what he'd been asked to do. See, Paul trusted his father with a childlike faith. Unlike our human fathers, our heavenly father is always going to catch us. He's not going to let us fall. It may seem like you're falling this morning, but I guarantee you, it's just that free fall before you hit his arms again. There is that bit of the, and you see sometimes in the kids' faces, like, but as soon as they're caught, they're like, yay, yay, yay. See, the opposite of this trust is actually fear. And not just a normal fear that we have for, you know, perhaps sharp knives or sharks in the water, but a fear where there's no logical reason for fear. You ever seen a child just frozen in fear, perhaps standing on the edge of a pool, mum or dad are in the water holding their arms out, and there's nothing really logical that they should be afraid of. They trust their mum and their dad. They've probably been in water before, but they just can't get their feet to move and launch out. into their parents' arms. It's an illogical fear. I've seen other kids when they're trying to ride their bike and they just can't get their second foot, not willing to put up on the pedal and to go. Their parents are there beside them, holding them and trying to give them balance, but there's just no way that they're going to lift that foot off the ground. I sit there and I wonder sometimes about those children. What is going to happen if they never overcome that fear? What are they going to miss out in life if they don't learn to overcome some of the illogical fears that we can have? Childish adults are crippled by this kind of fear. It's a fear that immobilizes, fear of rejection, fear of the future, fear of commitment, a fear of the unknown. It's where there's no logical reason to have that fear. And if you have a conversation with a person, if you have a conversation with yourself, you can even probably rationalize in your mind why you shouldn't be afraid of this thing, yet you still cannot do it. It's one of the conundrums. But we can't live our lives in fear. God has not desired that. If you do, you wouldn't even hop in a car and go for a drive. You wouldn't leave your house. You'd miss out on so much that God has for you. 1 John 4:18 says, God's perfect love drives out fear. We need to invite God into all those situations where there is fear. We need to ask his love into that situation. So I ask you this morning, is there an area of your life you need to start trusting God with? I encourage you to give it back to him. And as you do, you'll feel his love come in. You'll feel the arms catch you again, gather you in as he'll show you the way. The third attribute I want to talk about this morning, and again, I like this one. I picked all my favorites. And this is the kid's honesty and transparency, a childlike honesty and transparency. Kid's honesty leads them to say some of the funniest things. Whatever you see is what you're going to get. They don't have a filter from here to here. It just comes out. Sometimes in the funniest ways. I remember when I was taking Caitlin into Southland one day, and she's grown up with a mum who's a nurse, and I used to work in operating theatres as well. So she's heard all the stories about why you should and shouldn't smoke, or just why you shouldn't smoke. And so we told her about all of these things. And we're walking in, and we're walking past a whole lot of guys who are smoking, and so there's some big guys there this day. And just as we get past them, and she's staring up at them, and something goes through her mind, and it just comes straight out of her mouth. Dad, don't they know that the cigarettes are going to kill them? And I'm just like, shh, 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 shh. Just the total honesty that she had as she's asking a sincere question and making a statement that was true. Just the timing wasn't so good for Dad. But I love this attribute in kids. The fact that they're able to admit when they don't know something. The fact that they can, when they do know something, they'll let you know that too. I like the fact that they don't hide their feelings. They don't hide their faults. As I said, they're willing to tell you what they can and they can't do. If they've done something wrong, then they cannot hide it. It's on their face. They just confess whatever it is that they've done. They're quick also, and this is really important, they're quick to receive forgiveness, correction, and comfort. We need to remember that. We need to be quick to receive forgiveness, correction, and comfort. But it comes from first admitting what our faults and weaknesses are. We need to be transparent and honest with these things. I love the story of the woman with sin. She comes in, she crashes the party where Jesus is at, and the Pharisees are all there. And she just humbles herself before God, before Jesus. She gets it down at his feet. She just breaks down in tears. She washes his feet. She begins to dry them with her hair. I mean, she has put herself out there. She's been totally honest, totally transparent. I'm not a foot person, but I don't know, getting down in front of people and kissing his feet. How humbling would have that been? Gets the expensive perfume that she's got from the proceeds of her sin and anoints his feet. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, being honest and transparent allows God to come into whatever the situation, whatever circumstance you've got going on, to help you, to guide you, to bring restoration, healing, and above all, bring you peace. You don't see many stressed kids, do you? I don't. They might be worried about something for a moment, but then all of a sudden, because they've got this ability to be honest and transparent and to forgive, they can move on. they can enjoy life. We need to have the same childlike faith and attribute. The opposite of trust, well, obviously that's to lie. Were you willing to lie in order to hide something embarrassing or incriminating? I always find it amusing when we think we can hide things from God. He sees everything. How childish are we to think that we can hide something from God? I mean, really? But you know what? Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God. And it's like he's playing that game with them. He's like, where are you? And you know, when you play hide and seek with the kids and they've got this big bulge in the curtain, the feet are sticking out. Where are you? As if he doesn't know. We can't hide from God. Have you ever had a conversation with a little child who tries to deny they've done something wrong, even though there's evidence all around them to indicate otherwise? I just love that. You're sitting there going, serious? Now, there's a picture that's going to come behind us on up here. I just want you to have a look at. Should come up. Here we go. There's a little kid. And he's sitting here. And the caption that goes with this photo, this is from a website where parents out their kids for things that they've done that are so obvious. You can get ones for dogs and cats as well. But this little boy is sitting there and the comment that's under it is, let me finish my juice box and then we can talk about why you're so upset. As if he has no idea. It wasn't me. The dog did it. We shouldn't try to hide things. Because as every parent knows, a lack of honesty and a lack of transparency is going to lead to more trouble in the long run. If my kids are not honest with me, they know if I find out, oh boy. There's just something you need to be honest with God this morning, something you need to bring before him, which you need to confess. James 5:16 says, so confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another that you might be healed. The prayer of a godly person is powerful. Things happen because of it. You know, when you confess your sins to one another, that's when healing takes place. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual healing. We need to learn to have this childlike faith of being honest and transparent. Fourth and final attribute I want to talk to you about this morning is children's incessant curiosity. If you spend a moment with a child, or 5 minutes with a child, you will get asked at least 3 or 4 questions within that 5 minutes. If you've ever been on a car trip or tried cooking a meal with a child, they'll be there beside you asking question after question after question. And often those questions, they don't follow any logical order. They're just random. Things pop into their head, and like I said before, they don't have a filter, and bang, out it comes. Why? What about? See, people who are childlike, they never stop asking questions about the world around them. They want to know the how, the why, the where. And each new answer that they find out about brings up 20 more questions. Purely innocent desire to know the truth. It's not about gathering information. It's not trying to prove someone else wrong. Often these days, we are afraid of questions, especially as Christians, because we think someone's trying to actually attack our faith, trying to prove us wrong. We should actually encourage questions. Jesus says we should have an answer for everyone who asks. Childlike people realize that they don't know and can't know everything. They don't ever want to be the smartest person in a room. They love to ask questions and they position themselves to learn, just like Mary did at the feet of Jesus. She chose to sit and listen and ask questions and to learn rather than get busy with the things in life. We need to start asking questions of God again. Spend that time doing it daily in our lives. Create a time where this can happen. One of my greatest joys is seeing children grow and understand, to see those light bulb moments come on as they grasp and they learn something new. I know if you're a teacher, that is why you're probably into teaching, is seeing those moments where kids all of a sudden understand something for the first time or to a new level. It's exciting to see. It's why Pastor Rob gets up here to teach, is to see those light bulb moments happen in the congregation, in us. Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This isn't something just you arrive at. It's a continual thing. Because then you'll be able to test and approve of what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. keep asking questions. Childish people, on the other hand, they struggle to comprehend new things. No matter how many different ways you try to explain something, they just don't get it. I think that must have been what it was like for my teachers, my math teachers at school. No matter how much they tried to explain it, I just didn't get it. But these people, they've stopped being transformed. They've been stuck in a particular worldview. They're unable to ask questions. They become defensive. They often come across as religious, dogmatic, or arrogant. We don't want to be like that, because they'd rather win an argument and lose a friend. That's not what God's called us to do. He's called us to love the world. So I always find it beneficial to consider where the other person's coming from. Put yourself in their shoes and try and see where they're coming from, to ask questions before giving advice. Don't need to say that again for the husbands. Ask questions before giving advice. You might learn something new and amazing, but I guarantee that you're going to get further in life and that you'll point more people towards the love of God, because you're going to be approaching them with a loving attitude, one that's not worried about where the questions are coming from, but purely innocent questions. Now, I know there's probably many more attributes that I could have tried to bring up this morning, and I haven't. I know there's probably ones you've got in your mind. So I encourage you this week, this month, to think about what it is like to be childlike. What are the characteristics and the attributes that you love in children? And how can you apply them back into your life? See, we need to learn to be carefree again, to start listening to what our Father has got for us. We need to learn to trust God more in every circumstance in our life, to keep giving it back to Him and asking for help, because we are His sons and daughters, and He is still our Father. That relationship does not change. As old as we get in age, as mature as we get as people, we are still sons and daughters and children of God. Let me pray.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this weekly message audio podcast. If you'd like to listen to more messages and find out more information, check out our website at www.baysidechurch.com.au. Church has changed. Check it out.